Welcome. We got that taken care of. Today, in case you forgot, is our monthly food and fellowship fair. Looked like most of you remembered. We had a lot of food coming in today. So even if you forgot, there's plenty of food, and hope you can stay. Enjoy a good time of fellowship. And then this is going to be changed. Oh, it's already been changed. Wow. That lady is fast. She's good at this. Okay, we're needing to change our council meeting from Thursday to Wednesday. And so we cleared that with everyone present. Although Dawn is going to be gone, but she said Sue and Anita will vote for her. So, all righty. Now, if we can get those two, to agree, we'll really be accomplishing something. Okay. Saturday, wood gathering party out at the Hawkins Ranch from 8 to 1. If you can come and help do anything related to wood stacking, cutting, all that sort of stuff. And this helps our clients for Helping Hands as well as others. So let me or Kathy know if you can come. They'd like to have a heads up on who's coming. Alrighty. If you have questions about it, let us know next Sunday. We're continuing in the Family Faith Freedom three-week series with Faith Foundations next week. Isn't that a lovely graphic my wife found? It was already on the internet, like that. Family, faith, and freedom. They all go together. Okay. Is there anything else? Is that it? All right. Anything other I'm forgetting this morning? Nope. Okay. We're going to look at the scripture on the front of the bulletin from Hebrews chapter 2. It says, "But the one who makes men holy and those people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, 'I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises.'" And so we come as a family with Jesus. We're part of Jesus' family this morning, and we're going to join him in giving praise to the Lord for that privilege that we have. Bow our heads as we begin. Father, we're so thankful for that privilege. Thank you that Jesus helps us be a part of his family, and as we gather together this morning, we rejoice in that, celebrate what you've done, what you've created, that we can be a part of, and Lord, we just want to honor and glorify you through all of that. We pray your blessing in each heart and mind. Thankful for the freedom we have to be here today. We never want to take that for granted, and Lord, for the fellowship that we will share together in this family that you've made us a part of. We give you praise for it in your son's name. Amen. All right, stand and greet someone. Eyes are taking their places. Well, I guess they wanted to stay in and hear the preacher. Boy, that excellent reputation must be getting around. Okay, well, I tried. Yes. Alrighty, well, a little bit of a hangover this morning on the theme, shall we put it that way. We went through a series called Fulfilling Family and shared with you personal stories about my mom and dad and siblings, and you probably thought that was the end of it. Well, I got an inspiration to tie that with July the 4th upcoming celebration, in a series, short series called Family, Faith, and Freedom. And so the family's spilling over a little bit this morning, and we're going to tie all of this together and see how it helps fulfill God's original design and plan for how the world can best operate. We've made a real mess of it, but if we followed his plan and design, things would be a whole lot better. So we're going to try to encourage ourselves in that this morning. And since we had a little bit of a joke fest last week, we're spilling that over a little bit too. I had a whole page that I think I showed you, if you were here last week, of church bulletin signs, church signs, and some of the funny things on there. Some of them are humorous, mostly humorous. Some aren't necessarily, but they're inspirational regardless. And so I'm going to just, in the next however many weeks it takes, one at a time, and we'll have one of these to begin the message. So now you're forewarned. And here is one that said, "Try Jesus if you don't like him, the devil will take you back. So give that a try and see how it works out for you. No way, Jose. All righty. We want to look at the family foundations this morning and how they tie into faith and freedom as well. We're going to take kind of a tour of the Bible. I looked up all the scripture passages that use the word family and chose the ones that I thought we could best deal with. And reaffirm that the family is, as God designed it, the fundamental unit in society in which we can function the best if we do it according to His plan. Again, we've all made a mess of it. Every family has some pain and sorrow, mine included, as I shared with you, some dysfunction. But if we follow God's plan, things get better, not only for us individually and in our family units, but it affects society as a whole. And so we want to look at that and how it ties in with faith and freedom this morning. And so we're going to begin with what I call the flood family, the flood family. Well, who could that be, I wonder? Genesis chapter 7 and Hebrews 11.
The Lord then said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation." By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith.
It may seem trivial and obvious to us, but we shouldn't miss the fact that God specifically chose Noah because of his righteousness, and he said, include all of your family. Now, Noah was righteous. We don't know about all the other members of his family or not, but they got included in that saving grace because of Noah's righteousness. And that needs to tell us something. It needs to remind us of something. We're not saying in our day that if one person's righteous, the whole family is going to be saved. That got straightened out as God revealed more and more of his plan to us. But the principle remains the same, and that is righteousness, faith in a family can influence and should influence the whole family, and then again it goes out further and further. And so sometimes we often talk about being safe in the ark, and we think of the family of faith. We are a part, we're in that ark, the Jesus boat, you might think of it as, but there is safety in there. There is a place that we can belong to, be a part of, that God has designed for his own people. And so we have a choice to make in that. Are we going to be a part of that flood family that was saved or not? So it begins at that point, and then probably Noah and his faith and his righteousness covered his family, and then, as I said, that principle remains the same all the way down through Scripture for us today. And then it leads us into a later principle that would be added to it that is also foundational in its structure and influence, and that's what I would call the family flags. Family flags. Do any of you have, have you seen a coat of arms or something for your family history, whatever? We probably have one. I don't know what it is. Haven't seen it. But it's a big frog. Yours is? Well, that figures, huh? Okay, we'll leave it at that. But it means something. Family has an identity there, the symbolism of that. So anyway, this comes from all the ways back in Numbers chapter 2.
The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "The Israelites are to camp around the tent of meeting some distance from it, each of them under their standard and holding the banners of their family." So the Israelites did everything the Lord commanded Moses. That is the way they encamped under their standards, and that is the way they set out, each of them with their clan and family.
Yeah, so you had the 12 sons of Jacob, and each one a tribe, a family, a clan, and they had their own banner or flag as they moved through the wilderness and all of that around the tent of meeting, the tabernacle. What is that? It's an identity. It's a place of belonging. in each family unit, and each one had a kind of a specific role to play in the whole congregation. It's a picture of the body of Christ in that sense. But there is that sense of identity or belonging that God has created a longing in each of us to be a part of. And of course, it finds its ultimate fulfillment in the family of faith, where ultimate freedom is experienced in Christ. Yet God sets that the family unit as a picture of that and as a way that he wants to work through us. So you have that, the flags, the banners, the standard, whatever, symbolizing the identity, the belonging that we share together in that. As we move on then, honoring family foundations has its rewards, as we see in the third point, which is fun, Rahab, Ruth, and Rebekite's rewards. Somebody really is hung up on alliteration. You know, that's all in the Bible. I just took that out of the Bible. It's right there when you look up family things. So here we go. Each one of these is going to show us a different kind of reward. Of course, Rahab first. Do you remember the story how Joshua sent the spies into Jericho, check it out, they met Rahab, and you all are nodding your heads. I don't need to retell the whole story. But let's pick up the significant verses here. Joshua chapter 2 to begin with.
Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death.
This is Ruth. Now they found her. I'm sorry, thank you. This is Rahab. They found her there. She helped them kind of do the spying thing and escape and hit him for a while and all of that. And so she's now, please, because of my kindness to you, please be kind to me and my whole family, all who belong to me, will you show us kindness when you come and do your thing? And then we pick up at the end of the story in chapter 6, verses 22 through 23.
Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her. So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother, her brothers and sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put him in a place outside the camp of Israel.
You know, I don't know why this touches my heart. Just the fact that they brought out the whole family. I mean, it was Rahab who did her thing. It was Noah who had been found righteous. But the family is included. God's heart is for families to be together. And of course, again, ultimately, it's fulfilled in the family of faith in the most perfect way. But this was Rahab's heart. She wanted her kindness to be extended to all of her family. And so Joshua made a point to tell the spies to fulfill their promise to Rahab that they would bring the whole family out. And so they did that. We're going to look at Rahab more in a couple of weeks as we go through a faith series. But because she is named as one of those in the Hall of Faith series, we call it in Hebrews chapter 11. But let's move on to Ruth. And Ruth's loyalty, her family, is also rewarded. We see this in Ruth chapter 4.
Then the elders and all the people at the gate said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in, help me with that one.
Ephrathah.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. And be famous in Bethlehem through the offsprings the Lord gives you by this young woman. May your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah.
Yes. So this, they were speaking to Boaz, who brought Ruth, who was really not originally part of the family, but had been brought in by Naomi, her mother-in-law. You know the story. But then the Boaz and Ruth hook up. So the elders, because Boaz was part of the family and was going to be kinsman redeemer, so they said, may your family, through Ruth, be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. Perez, the son of Judah, over the tribe of Judah, which would down through the line would become who? Jesus, the tribe of, and so Boaz with Ruth, then had Obed, and then Jesse, the father of David, and that continues on down through Jesus. So it's very important to identify this and see this, how God is working this family unit down through the rewards he's giving to those who had been loyal to their families. Ruth was loyal to this family. All right, the third R, reward, goes to some not as familiar, the family of the Rechabites in Jeremiah chapter 35.
Then Jeremiah said to the family of the Rechabites that this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. You may obey the command of your forefather, Jonabath,
whatever.
You got all the ones, didn't you?
Yeah.
And you're doing good.
And followed all his instructions and have done everything he ordered. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Whatever son of Rechab will never fail to have a descendant of to serve me.
Dude, you're not going to stop reading for me, are you? That's next week we'll forget the bad names.
I'm going
to skip it. Skip it. That's all right. Anybody ever heard of the Rechabites before? They're not a real familiar name. But it's interesting because the Rechabites were descendants of this man named Jehonadab. Jehonadab had told his family, no wine, and we will always live in tents. Be obedient to this. Now, it's not that we take that up and all of us today should have no wine and live in tents. That's not the point of it. It was kind of like a Nazirite vow. But this father of the family said, this is what you are always to do. Be faithful to this. And they were faithful to it. When all the rest of Israel were unfaithful, and do we need to... Man, I just got really much louder. Did you do something to me?
Yeah, we're trying to.
Yeah, try to go back down. Sorry. Okay. Well, that's not my fault. Anyway, the Rechabites had been faithful to this all down through the years, and there came a point when everyone else had been unfaithful, and God, through Jeremiah, said the Rechabites are an example for us to look at because they have been faithful to this instruction from their forefather. They have been obedient to it all these years, and they're going to be rewarded as a result of it. Everybody looked to them. God was going to punish everybody else. The Rechabites would be rewarded because of their obedience to their forefathers. So it's a good example for us as well. Next, we remember how Esther was used by God along with her cousin Mordecai to be the salvation of all the Jews who had been in exile to Persia under King Xerxes. And this would be what we call Esther's easement. What is an easement? You legal eagles. It's like that. It's a right-of-way on a piece of property to give passage through. Well, that's the legal thing. That's not the sense in which I'm using it. Easement can also mean comfort or being at ease, being released from something. And so that's Esther's easement that we're looking at in Esther chapter 4 to begin with.
When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but what you have come to your royal position for such a time as this.
Yeah, and he's going to pause there at that point. So Ruth had the opportunity. She could be saved herself, and that'd be fine. That, you know. What is the problem with Ruth?
I don't know. You're hung up on the R.
I know. Good, move on, John.
Yes. I couldn't walk.
Was it your fault?
Yes.
Thank you. You're so gracious. You're so gracious. Not true. Anyway, so Esther had the opportunity to be used by God to save her whole family, not only her family, then all of those who were in exile with Persia. She could have just kind of been kept quiet and been saved herself. And sometimes that's what we do. We're just too concerned about ourselves and, you know, the rest of whatever, you know, like that. But her whole family was dependent upon what she would do. Who knows but what you may have come to a royal position for such a time as this. Now, we don't consider ourselves royalty, maybe, but when we're part of God's family, we are royalty, each and every one of us. And we will have an opportunity ourselves to have influence not only in our own families, but in society as a whole because of that, and we need to be faithful to that as well. Pick up the end of the story then, Harlan, in chapter 8.
If it pleases the king, she said, and if he regards me with favor and thinks it is the right thing to do, and if he is pleased with me, let an order be written overruling the dispatches that Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, you didn't get all the bad ones.
Yeah.
Devised and wrote to destroy the Jews in all the king's provinces. But how can I bear to see disaster fall on my people? How can I bear to see the destruction of my family?
Of my family. See, this is Esther's heart. She couldn't bear to do that. She really wanted to be used by God. And so she boldly stepped out in a way she could have been put to death for. But she took the risk and Mordecai's encouragement so that God would save not only her, but all of her family and all those there. This is her easement. This is her comfort and release from the danger that she was a part of. God will use us in ways like that as well if we will take the risk and trust him in it. This leads us then into the New Testament with a few more direct connections to faith and freedom that we see as family faithfulness. And let me just emphasize the word faithfulness is full of faith. Faithful, full of faith. And that's what we want to emphasize. Galatians chapter 6 and Ephesians 3 first.
Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
Yeah. Three times in these passages, Paul emphasizes family. And he begins by saying that you should be kind, especially to those who are part of the family of believers, the family of faith. The Father, from whom his whole family on heaven and earth dwells, derives its name. And then he said, he makes this prayer so that together with all of the Lord's holy people or his family, you will be able to grasp how deep, wide, and love and all the good things the Lord has, so that you can be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And I will say it again, and this passage is really becoming more and more one of my favorites and my prayer. But the key thing in it all is to see how God works us together to bring us to the measure of the fullness of God. Again, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. We cannot experience the fullness of God alone in our relationship with him. We need each other to be able to experience the fullness of what God offers to us. We need to be a part of that family. There's that identity. There's that belonging. There's that encouragement and challenge that we give to each other in what God is calling us to. And so this is how we fulfill the family he's called us in. Paul then goes on to remind Timothy of being faithful in taking care of our families in 1 Timothy chapter 5.
Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead, even while she lives. Give the people these instructions so that no one may be open to blame. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
Yeah. So we can apply this both practically and logistically to our own families as well as the broader family of faith. And I've said it before, one of the reasons, if not the primary reason, we accepted the call to come move here to Sandpoint was because my mother had specifically looked in my face and said, would you please consider coming here? And so there was, God used that. And I thought of this scripture because I'm now in a position of responsibility for my mom. Don't get me going. I can say more about that. But I just want us to understand the responsibility we have and the opportunities and how God will fulfill his purposes when we remember the responsibility we have to our families. And again, that includes the family of faith, where Paul had said, especially those that are part of the family of faith. And so God will apply these in each and every one of our lives in different ways. Next, the writer of Hebrews reminds us that even Jesus, as we said earlier, considers us his family, part of his family. Hebrews 2.
In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly I will sing your praises. And again I will put my trust in him. And again he says, here am I and the children God has given me.
Don't you love that? Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters, regardless, despite how we have failed and fallen and brought disrepute on the family, his family. Yes, in essence, is what we've done. And yet he loves us enough, as we sometimes have to do in our own families, to forgive and bring back and bring restoration and healing. And that's what he offers to us. And that just touches my heart that's how Jesus thinks of us and feels toward us. This is family. This is a family thing. And he brings us back in that. The writer of Hebrews continues then in verses 14 on.
Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are also, who are being tempted.
You know, that really blows my mind too, to understand that Jesus could not help us as we need help unless he gave up what he had, came down, as I've said, from the uttermost to the guttermost to experience everything we experience so he can have understanding. You would think that being God, he could have that understanding to begin with, but there was something about the experience itself to be brought down to our level and to struggle with everything we struggle with, to be tempted with everything we are. In that way, then, he is able to understand and help us in our time of need. This is family stuff we're talking about. This is what Jesus was willing to do in order to help his family in their time of need. And so we receive that as an example and a challenge and encouragement in our own lives as well, to allow Jesus to live in us so that we can be used by him to help others in their time of need. Finally, Peter encourages us to assimilate family, faith, and freedom together by standing firm in the challenges that we ourselves face in our day. This is in 1 Peter chapter 2.
Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever.
Amen. Jesus, thank you. Jesus suffered on our behalf. In the world that we live in today, we are going to suffer on his behalf. If we make it clear that we're part of his family, if we stand out for that, if we resist the devil in all of his lies, it is going to bring that. That's a family thing. The suffering of Jesus is a family thing for us. And so he's encouraging us, Peter's encouraging us, we have a freedom in Christ, but don't use it in improper ways, but rather use it to be able to be like Jesus in the society that we live in. And more each day we can see that we're going to stick out like a sore thumb if we are truly standing for what he stands for. And we're going to be at risk. We're going to be having to face the question like Esther did and the others who were loyal to the family thing. And especially in the family of faith, we will experience that kind of suffering that no one else can understand. And I am just speaking from my heart as a pastor, because I see it in the news and I just shake my head and I go, dear Lord, help us. It's coming. And so it's good to understand God's word and perspective in this, and that we are not alone in it. As we stand together as a family of faith, then we can be used by God to be a light to our world, and the others will be brought into the family, the ark, as it were, that we started with. And so I just want to say we love you so much. We're glad to be a part of this family, this part of God's family of faith. And we just want to encourage you and challenge you. And Colleen, do you have something?
Yes, I do. I have a song to sing about our love.
Okay, well, we've got our song ready. Are you wanting to sing a song yourself?
It's to the whole church.
Okay. Can we save that for next week? That be okay? Okay. Thank you, Colleen. And we'll look forward to that. And but for now, what we want to do is celebrate. I was going to ask the question, are you glad to be a part of the family of God?
Yes.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
All the people are saying amen to that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then I figured the best way we can celebrate and respond to God's word this morning is to sing that. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, and mean it. Don't sing it if you don't mean it, right? Okay, let's stand together and sing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God.
Because we're a family and these folks are so
Because I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Thankful I have such a beautiful voice to sing it too, Lord. Thank you that we can make a joyful noise to you from hearts that are full of gratitude and thanksgiving for the privilege we have to be a part of your family. Thank you, Lord. As for the saints who are in the land, they are all my delight. Thank you that we're a part of Jesus' family, and he's not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. What an awesome thing that is. Co-heirs with Christ in everything. Help us, Lord, to receive your word fully today and to let it sink into our hearts, aided by your Spirit at work. Thank you that we can celebrate being a part of that family in a very real way, following our service here and our time of fellowship. Help us to honor and glorify you in that, and we pray your blessing in that time of fellowship as well as the food to our bodies. Thankful, Lord, that we can lift up each other in times of need and